ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं शोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम्। नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्मविद्याचार्याय नचिकेतसे च। वी इन्वोक द ग्रेस एंड ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ पूज्य गुरुदेव एंड भगवान यमराज एंड हिज डिसाइपल नचिकेता फॉर सक्सेसफुल अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ दिस ब्यूटिफुल उपनिषद। सो वी सॉ दैट नचिकेता हैड गॉट हिज टू बून्स एंड ही आस्क्ड फॉर द थर्ड बून। वी हैड सीन दैट द ब्रह्म यमराज रिवील्स दिस नॉलेज टू नचिकेता, the highest supreme knowledge of the Brahman, and then he tells him, you are already there, the door is wide open for you. You are already an advanced student, all you have to do is just go through this door. But Nachiketa again does not want to hear his praise. Again he asks his question in a different way. He says, I want to know that which is beyond dharma, adharma, beyond cause and effect, and beyond past and future. And I know you know that. Oh, Yamraj, you have that personal experience. So I want you to reveal that to me, which you know. So Yamraj was very pleased and he says, yeah, that the supreme word or the supreme goal is Om, is indicated by Om in the Vedas and praised by all the people who do penance and those who seek the highest knowledge. They all take refuge in Om, and that I will tell you. And then he talked about that it is, you know, the highest, it is the supreme goal, and that it is the, by meditating upon that, you can reach Brahma Loka or even the Supreme Self. So the praise of Om he is doing. And today we will continue the 17 mantra of Valli 2, which is further praising Om, or further telling us the glory of Om. So number 17, Varsha Ben, you would like to repeat? Etadalambanam Shrestham.
Etadalambanam Shrestham.
एतदालम्बनं परम्
एतदालम्बन् परम्
एतदालम्बनं ज्ञात्वा
एतदालम्बनं ज्ञात्वा
ब्रह्मलोके महीयते।
महीयते।
कैन म्यूट प्लीज, विल ऑल चैंट टुगेदर।
एतदालम्बनं
एतदालम्बनं श्रेष्ठम्, एतदालम्बनं परम्, एतदालम्बनं ज्ञात्वा ब्रह्मलोके महीयते। सो एतत् मीन्स दिस। सो व्हेन ही सेज दिस, इट रेफर्स टू द प्रीवियस मंत्र वेयर ही हैड टॉक्ड अबाउट द ग्लोरी ऑफ ओम। सो ही सेज ओम इज द आलंबनम, मीन्स द सपोर्ट, इट इज द हाइएस्ट सपोर्ट। श्रेष्ठ मीन्स इट इज द हाइएस्ट
ग्लोरी
सपोर्ट, एंड आलंबनम परम मीन्स इट इज दैट विच इज इवन बियॉन्ड हाई, हायर एंड हाइएस्ट, दैट सुप्रीम स्टेट ऑफ ब्रह्मन। सो इट इज बोथ, इट इज द हाइएस्ट अबोड एंड देन इट इज द सुप्रीम अबव दैट अबोड। एंड एतद आलंबनम एंड ज्ञात्वा एंड हैविंग नोन दिस पर्टिकुलर सपोर्ट कॉल्ड ओम, देन सच अ पर्सन ब्रह्म लोके
ओके
महीयते। ब्रह्म लोक मीन्स द अबोड ऑफ ब्रह्मा जी, इन दैट ही इज ग्लोरिफाइड, ही इज प्रेस्ड। सो वॉट ही सेइंग इज ही कैन रीच द अबोड ऑफ ब्रह्मा जी और इवन गो हायर, एंड सच अ पर्सन इज प्रेस्ड थ्रू आउट, यू नो, एवरीवेयर इन द यूनिवर्स। महीयते मीन्स ही इज अडोर्ड, ही इज प्रेस्ड। So as we see, it is the support. What do we mean by support? The whole universe is sustained on this one consciousness, which is represented by Om. And it is like the movie, you know, which is supported by the screen. The screen is unaffected, but the movie has to be projected on the screen for us to see it. So same way, this world that we see is projected or supported on Om. Om is the substratum. And it, jnatva means through knowledge alone. See, people say, well, I'll do karmas, I'll do upasanas. Those are very good. They will purify and they might even take you to the higher abodes, up to Brahma Loka. But if you want to go beyond that, beyond all the name and form, you have to get the knowledge. And the Om, you know, has the name and form, you know, the O that we make. But when we chant Om, then there has to be a silence. So it has to be long chanting Om. And one has to, if you focus on the sound, then you will go to the heavens, you know, if you meditate upon that. But if you meditate on the silence in between the two Oms and make that your own nature, then you will reach the highest. And Om has minimum attributes. See, anything else, for example, if you have an image of Lord Shiva or Bhagwan Krishna, then that is name and form. Then you say, okay, we meditate on Shivaling or, you know, Shaligrama, which is Bhagwan Vishnu's the ling, the indicator. So even the Shivaling or the Shaligrama has some name and forms. But this Om has minimum attributes, has no name, no form, and only thing it has is sound. When we chant Om, we hear the sound. That's why it is called Shabda Brahma. So meditating on that will take us to the Brahma Loka or even the higher than that. Ambika, do you have this book or the shloka?
So
If you
from
can please
15 to
repeat.
7 is
Number
bridge B.
18, number 18. Huh?
15 to 17.
Yeah.
Eternal absolute reality is
Yeah,
called
he's
Chidananda.
praising Om.
In the word of
Yeah, the next verse also praises Om or this supreme abode. Na jayate mriyate va vipaschit.
Na jayate mriyate va vipash चिन्ह और चित्त है तो
In
चित्त
the
चित्त
one it will be चिन्ह,
ओके चित्त
नायं कुतश्चिन्न बभूव कश्चित्।
नायं कुतश कुतश्चिन्न बभूव कश्चित्
अजो नित्य शाश्वतो यम पुराणः।
अजो नित्य शाश्वतो यम पुराणः
न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे।
हन्यते
Chant together. Na jayate mriyate va vipascha. No, not
हन्यमाने
that Gita tune. Na jayate mriyate va vipascha.
शरीरे
Nayam kutaschinna bhuva kaschit. Ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranaha. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. So na jayate. So Om, which is the supreme self, which is the Atma, the self, the Brahman, is not born. Na jayate and mriyate, and it does not perish. So va means or. It neither is born nor does it die. And vipaschit means knowledgeable. So vipaschit here means it is consciousness. It is awareness, that which is the source of all the knowledge. Our body, our intellect, our mind functions and gets knowledge because of that consciousness, and all knowledges of the universe have arisen from that. And then where has it come from? So na ayam kutah chit. It has not come from anything. It has not been created. Na bhuva kaschit, and nor nothing is created from it. So it is not created, and nor does it create anything. And then again he glorifies Om, or this Atma. It is ajah. It is unborn, and it
Nitya.
is nitya. It is eternal. Shashvata means beyond time. It is always there, always there. Past, present, and future. And Puranaha means it is the most ancient, before even time, before anything was. But Puranaha api nava, even though it is old, it is not old as we think of somebody getting old. Even though it is ancient, it is ever new. Om, the Lord Brahman is always, that's why Bhagwan Shri Krishna, whenever you see, he looks youthful. These supreme creation is ever eternal and ever youthful. And nahanyate hanyamane sharire, and it does not perish, does not get killed when the body gets killed. So means it does not die when the body dies. So when we say that it is beyond birth and death, then we have talked before also, that means there are not six modifications. If it is not born and if it doesn't perish, then it has no modifications. Asti jayate vardhate parinamyate apakshiyate vinashyati. Asti means is. Jayate means born. Then it grows. Then
वर्धते
vardhate. Then parinamyate, modifies. Apakshiyate, it deteriorates. And vinashyati, it dies. So that happens to all of us. We are born, we grow, we modify, decay, and die. But that
वर्धते
is beyond these six modifications, shat vikaras, what we call. And it is vipaschit we talked about. It is consciousness, the illumining principle, which illumines does not mean as a light, but illumine means energizes, gives life, and gives knowledge to all of us. And it is beyond cause and effect. It has no cause, nothing caused it, and also there is no effect from this. That is the second line, nayam kutaschin bahu vakaschit. Now this line is so important that Shankaracharya ji's guru was Govindapada ji, and Govindapada ji's guru was Gaudapadacharya ji. So the Shankaracharya ji's guru's guru, and who has written the Mandukya Karika also. So this great guru, on this one line, he composed 48
Verses.
verses, 48
Explain.
verses to describe that. And it's masterful, his commentary on this. So what the point is that this is a very important, that then we say, well, what we see this world. So what is this world? So we had talked last week also that this world was not created as a real entity. It is an illusory entity. So Brahman, assuming the role of Ishvara, the creator, sustainer, destroyer, uses Maya, which is a illusory power. Maya again has no reality. Maya is an illusory power. Just as a magician, you know, creates a magic world, or a yogi can create, you know, different worlds. We know stories of, you know, Mahatmas who could create other worlds. So same way, this Maya creates this entire universe of name and form, which has no absolute reality. Because if it was real, if this world was real, then we would say Brahman is limited. Okay, there is Brahman, and then there is this real world. So there are two things. The moment you say two, then the Advaita theory is gone. If you say Brahman alone is, then the world cannot have an independent existence. World is an illusory manifestation, like snake on the rope or like movie on a screen. It is just an appearance. Movie has no reality. It's just continuous series of pictures, but we give reality. So same way, we give reality to this. And this shloka, Bhagwan has taken almost completely identical in the Bhagavad Gita.
Second chapter.
In the second chapter, na jayate mriyate va kadachit, with few changes. So which means that this same truth has been revealed in many places, many Upanishads and many places. And then it is eternal, you know, it has no birth, it is nitya, it is unchanging, it has
nitya is
aja is unborn, nitya is eternal, shashvata means that is beyond time, and puranaha ancient, and it does not kill when does not get killed when the body is killed. Why is he bringing up killing? So because at least in the Bhagavad Gita, okay, Arjuna asked, you know, about killing, and that these people are going to perish. So Bhagwan had to tell him. But why Yamraj is bringing up this knowledge of this? Because Nachiketa had asked, you know, I want to know what happens after death. Is there something or there is not? You know, that was one of his questions. So I wish to know what is after death. That was actually his third question. So Yamraj is answering that after death, there is something, and that is Om, that is Brahman. Now, and it has no modifications. See, the world is constantly changing. Whatever is created, whether it's mountains, whether rivers, whether stones, whether people, animals, birds, everything, trees, everything is constantly changing, but that is changeless. And I have to understand that it is me, I. And just as the consciousness pervades the whole universe and beyond, so you have to say, I am birthless, I am deathless, I was never born, I will never die, this body will perish, but I will never die. Not only that, but I am all-pervading. You know, we shouldn't think that there is some Om somewhere which is all-pervading, or there is some Brahman or some God which is everything. No, I am that. Because if Om is everything or Brahman is everything, then how can I be separate? So this idea that I am Brahman, I am all-pervading, is for us to contemplate. We shouldn't go around and tell people, you know, like in Ashtavakra Gita, Ashtavakra Raja Janaka, when he heard from his guru, he said, he understood, he said, from the blade of grass to Brahmaji, all are in me, you know. Janak Maharaj said that in Ashtavakra Gita. So we should not go around and telling people, you know, I am all pervading, from the blade of grass to Brahmaji, they are all are in me. If you go around tell people, either they may put us in the lunatic asylum, you know, something wrong with this guy. Or if he is more kind, he will say, you know what, my child, please stop going to these Vedanta lectures, you know, because they are filling your head with all this nonsense. You are not that. Who told you you are that? So this is not something to announce to the world. It is for us to think. The masters are telling us because they want us to understand. But this is something to understand, something to contemplate. And in our meditation is when you should be contemplating that I am that changeless self. I am unaffected. The waves rise and fall in the ocean, but the ocean, the bottom of the ocean is unaffected. So same way in my world, my body is changing, has risen and will go perish. My mind is changing, my thoughts are changing, and my ideas are changing. And so when somebody insults us or praises us, we should not take it as, oh, I am being insulted, or I am being hurt, or I am being, praised. No, it is asanga. I should remain asanga, unattached, in the midst of all these changes, and remain. And that's what Atma, one of it is asangoham. There is a famous mantra. So Atma is asanga, unattached. Atma is unattached means none of the body changes, mind or intellect changes affect
That's
Atma.
nice.
So I have to say that I am unaffected. I am changeless
That's nice.
in the changes of this body, mind, and intellect. So one student told his friend, he says, I am changeless. So he says, how are you changeless? He says, five, six gurus have come and told me that I am that,
I never got it.
but I have no change. I am still the same. So not that kind of changeless, where you hear and don't. Changeless means I, the self, is unaffected. I am the changeless entity. I am the substratum. I am all-pervading, and this whole universe is sustained in me. It's born in me, sustained in me, and perishes in me. That's why in Kaivalya Upanishad it says, Mayeva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishthitam, mai sarvam layam yati, tad brahmadvayam asmiham. So the student who has realized the truth, having heard it from the guru, then he says, I am that non-dual Brahman, and in me this whole world is created, in me the whole world is sustained, and in me the whole world perishes. So me does not mean this body, mind, and intellect. We have talked many times. Me means that consciousness, the Atma, the self, which in the BMI chart is Om. All the others, Vasanas, BMI, PFT, OET, all are changing and are the visible world, but the Om, the consciousness, is eternal, all pervading. Lata, you want to do 19? Hanta chen manyate hantum
हन्ता चे मन्यते हन्तुम्
अतश्चेन् मन्यते हतम्
हतश्चेन् मन्यते हतम्
उभौ तौ न विजानीतः
उभौ तौ न विजानीतः
नायं हन्ति न हन्यते.
नायं हन्ति न हन्यते
This also Bhagwan has borrowed from here, put it in the Bhagavad Gita. Hanta chen manyate hantum, hatas chen manyate hatam, ubhau tau na vijanitah, nayam hanti na hanyate. So hanta, so one who is has been killed, chet, no, hanta means the killer. So hanta means the one who has killed, chet, chet manyate. If he thinks I have killed, a killer thinks I have killed, or hataha, one who has been killed, chet manyate, he thinks I have been killed. So one who kills says I killed, or one who got killed said I was killed. Ubhav tau na vijanitaha, both of them are ignorant, both of them do not know the truth. Why? Because na ayam hanti na hanyate, neither it kills nor it is killed. So when they say kill and killed, it means all actions. It means the Atma does not walk, does not talk, does not drive, does not operate a computer. And Atma is not the subject, nor it is the object. Neither it is the doer or the experiencer. So for example, I am eating an apple. So I become the subject and apple becomes the object. So I am the doer and apple is the experiencer. Apple is not a person, but say, or say I am scolding somebody, then I become the doer and the person I am scolding becomes the experiencer. Or somebody scolds me, then that person becomes the doer and I become the experiencer of this scolding, right? I am the object. So neither Atma is the subject nor the object. Neither it is the doer nor it is the experience. So Atma doesn't do anything and nothing happens to Atma. So that we have to understand and always stay with that understanding. I am that Atma. I am. So all actions of the world, none of them are performed by Atma and none of them affect Atma. So that is how one should live in the world. Again, it does not mean that, you know, that if I'm shouting at somebody, you say, oh, I am not shouting and he is not being shouted at. So it does not mean you start mistreating people. You know, I didn't hurt him. My body did. No, at the worldly level, at the jiva level, we have to be kind and compassionate and treat others with love and kindness. But at the same time, if somebody criticizes or somebody complains about us, like, you know, say you have done some project or done something, or like I'm giving the talk and then somebody comes and says, that was the most useless talk I have ever heard and who gave, you know, it is normal to get upset, but one should understand that the praise and blame belongs to the body, mind, and intellect, does not belong to Atma. In fact, nobody can praise us like the Upanishad, because Upanishad says you are not this body, mind, intellect, you are Brahman. And so there cannot be a greater praise. Somebody can say you are smart, you are intelligent, you are, you know, brilliant, you are loving, you are the, you know, fastest runner, or you are the most beautiful. So those are all praises of my body, mind, intellect. But when somebody, Vedanta, tells me you are Brahman, then there cannot be a greater praise than that. So that we have to understand. But only the problem comes is we take ownership of the body, mind, intellect. That body is doing, I am doing. Mind, intellect is doing. So we take ownership of what we are not. What doesn't belong to us. I am Atman, nothing belongs to me. This body, mind, and intellect is an instrument or actually is an appearance. But if you take ownership of what doesn't belong to you, then that's when we get into trouble. If we take ownership of this body, that I am the body, I am the mind. There is a famous story of Pujya Gurudev. Some of you may have heard it, but most of you are new, so it is worth repeating. It's a little long, beautiful story. So there was this man who got onto a train, which was an overnight train, you know, in the evening, and was going to reach next morning to the destination. And he had a first class compartment, you know, where there are only two berths, you know, two seats, long seats where people sleep. And top is where they keep the luggage. So he was wondering who will come, and who will be my partner for this trip. You know, it's several hours. And he's thinking, and suddenly this most beautiful, young, pretty girl walks into the compartment, and the coolie is carrying his bag, and she tells him, put the bag on top. And she sits down and she smiles at him, and he's so happy. Are wah, this beautiful girl has come now, you know, acha time katega, we'll have a nice time, I'll talk to her and get to know her, maybe I can get her phone number, you know, all those things. You know how men are, they start thinking like that. So she start, so he starts thinking like that. And she sits down, she smiles at him. The train has not started yet. And then she says, you know, the train is about to start, but I need to get some water and, you know, some, there's a sweet stand, get some sweets and a little food. So would you mind? I'll just go out. I'll be right back. Just watch my bag. Will you? Of course. He said, of course, I'll watch your bag. No problem. Where are you going? She said, I'm going to the last station. He said, I'm also going to the last station. No problem. So she gets down to get whatever. And he's waiting for her to come, come, come. And the whistle blows and she still has not come. He says, what happened to her? And the train starts. And then he goes out and looks in the compartment. He can't see her. He said, what happened to her? He said, well, maybe she was way far back and she couldn't run to this compartment. You know what happens in India? Sometimes people get into the different compartment and then eventually they move. So he says, well, maybe she got in a different compartment and with time she will come, you know, maybe in the next station or the next. He keeps wondering, she doesn't come. Finally, he goes to sleep. He gets up in the morning, at least in the morning at the last station, I will see her because she has to get her bag. And then when I give her the bag, you know, I can at least get her address, phone number, and so at the last station, the coolie comes, you know, Saab, you need a coolie. He says, yeah, you know, so there were two bags, his bag and the lady's bag. He said, yeah, aapka hi hai. He said, yeah, they are both mine, you know, take them both. So two coolies come, they are carrying two bags. They get down and he's looking in the compartment. He still does on the station, he still doesn't see her. Then the police come, two, three, four policemen, and they surround him. They say, is this your bag? He says, yeah. How about this bag? Oh, that is mine too. You know, he didn't know what to say because he had told the coolie and everybody. He said, if I say it's not mine, then they will ask who, you know, this mine too. So they say, open it. So he says, I you know, something, I've lost the key. So they force open the lock, they break it, and there's a dead body, you know, cut into three pieces in that suitcase. And then he says, you're under arrest, sir. So the thing is, he took ownership of what doesn't belong to him. Now, don't ask me who was the girl and what happened to the man or where did he go. The moral of the story is that when you take ownership of something that doesn't belong to you, you will get into trouble. So we take ownership of this body, mind, and intellect and all actions. That's why, you know, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivarchate. Bhagwan says, in my presidency, prakriti is doing all that. And that's how the world is being created and sustained. So same way you have to say that in my presidency, in my presence, this body, mind, intellect are working. So then we can detach from the actions, don't take ownership of the act. So then what it means is that Atma does not do karma, then does not have even karma phala. If I say I am doing the karmas, then I have to bear the karma phala. So the body, mind, intellect are doing karmas. They will get the results. But as Atma, I am beyond karma and beyond karma phala. So then there is no guilt and there is no hurt. Guilt means I did something and hurt means somebody did something to me. So neither one of those for a wise person. And he accepts all situations. See, Vedantic student accepts that, yes, in the world there will be changes, there will be problems. So everything is happening by prakriti, but I am not. So for a Vedantin, the knowledge is I am Brahman and prakriti is doing everything. I am unattached. For a bhakta, for a devotee, also there is 100% acceptance because my Bhagwan is doing everything. So whatever is happening for the good. So whether you are a bhakta or whether you are a jnani, the 100% acceptance is there. One should have 100% acceptance that Bhagwan is doing everything and whatever is happening for the good. Even if problems are coming to me, they are for my good. Even hardships are coming. So I've heard a very beautiful example. You know, people say, why is there cloudy day? You know, today is cloudy. I wish there were sunshine every day. And then someday it rains and you were supposed to go somewhere, you know, your clothes get dirty. You say, why does it have to rain? I wish there was sunshine every day and no rain. What is sunshine every day and no rain is what? Desert, right? Nothing can grow. So there has to be days of sunshine and there has to be days of cloud, even gloomy days, even rain, for growth to happen. So same way people say, oh, in my life, I should have everything good. I should have no sorrows. I should have no problems. He said, then you won't grow. If it is only through problems and difficulties that an individual grows. So good things are okay, but even when sorrow comes, it is for my growth. So that understanding should happen. And one who doesn't understand is ignorant. So both are ignorant. One who thinks I am the subject or one who thinks I am the object, it is happening to me. And the person has total acceptance of this changes. So there's a story of a Mahatma, very, very evolved Mahatma. He had a lot of disciples and he was getting old, his body was deteriorating, and he knew my time is coming to drop the body. So he told his disciples, he says, do not pray to extend my life. Do not pray to Bhagwan, oh Bhagwan, keep our guru longer. No. It says when it is Bhagwan's, he is the one, it is his drama, his play. It is, and when it is time for me to go, he will take me. So not only I accept, but you also all have to accept. And same thing, you know, parents or somebody who is, you know, very sick and going downhill, one should just pray that they be relieved of their comfort rather than, oh, Bhagwan, keep them longer. So same way, acceptance of the total situation, that is the state of this Mahatma and this wise person. And those who don't know are ignorant. The last one, 20th. Sharad, you have it? This is further praise of Atma. Again, the glorification of Atma is going on. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan.
Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan.
Atmasya jantor nihito guhayam.
Atmasya jantor nihito guhayam.
Amkratuf pasyati vita shokah.
Amkratuf pasyati vita shokah.
Atu prasadan mahimanam atmanah.
Atu prasadan mahimanam atmanah.
Together, anoraniyan mahato mahiyan atmasya janto nihito guhayam tam kratu pasyati vita shokah dhatu prasadan mahimanam atmanah. So last word is mahimana atmana. So the glory of atma, the glory of the self, Brahman or Om, all of them are same. Anoraniyam. So atma is anoraniyam, means subtler than the subtlest. And mahato mahiyan, bigger than the biggest. We have covered that, so we'll just go over briefly. And atma, asya, of this jantoho, means of all the beings. Nihito guhayam, it is placed in the cave of the heart. Also, we had that has come earlier, but he repeats it. And how can we know it? Pashyati. Pashyati means does not see. In Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, many times they use the word pashyati. Ya pashyati sa pashyati. Pashyati means to see. Here, pashyati means one who knows, one who understands. Like when you understand, you say, oh, I see. I see. That means I have understood. So one who understands, who is that? Tam kratuhu. One who has a kratu means who has no desires. If you have excessive desires, you cannot know the Atma.
Yeah,
and Vita Shokaha is beyond, devoid of sorrow. Once you have no desire, then you have no sorrow, right? There's nothing the world can give me. Then and nothing world can take from me. Then you go beyond sorrow. So he goes beyond sorrow. And one is he has to be desireless. Second is Dhatu Prasada. Dhatu Prasada means Bhagwan's grace. So one, I have to become desireless. And second, Bhagwan's grace has to be there. Dhatu also means mind and senses. So we'll see how that meaning also applies. But Bhagwan's grace, then only I can understand the glory of the self, glory of Atman. So as we said, it is subtler than the subtlest, greater than the greatest. It's like space. You know, space is subtlest, right? Even there is an atom, it is subtler than the atom. Even neutrons, neutrons, electrons, protons, neutrinos, quarks, all of them are sustained in space. Space is subtler than that. And space is in between. The spaces between neutrons, the space between electrons, space is there. So it is subtler than the subtlest. And it is bigger than the biggest, even the greatest galaxies, the planets, all the multiple universes are sustained in space. But Atma is even subtler and bigger than space. So even space is sustained in Atma. So Atma consciousness is the one that is sustaining. And just as we said, space is in every, like even in our body, in the cells. The body looks, you know, continuous, but every cell is separated by space. We have, you know, 4 billion cells in our body, and each one of them is separated by space. So consciousness sustains our body and is inside and outside, everywhere is sustained by consciousness. And it is in the heart. We have talked about it's not the pumping heart. It is where the intellect, where all the good qualities reside, love, kindness, compassion, the Atma shines over there. Shines again means manifest, even though Atma is everywhere. But if you want to find it, you have to, in your meditation, go within and find. Find means I am this Atma. You have to abide in that understanding. So in meditation, you sit with that idea that I am that Atma. And Atma eventually reveals itself. So just continuous abidance in that and continuously thinking about Atma, that Atma, the self. And one has to become desireless. If you have strong desires, then that will result in vasanas and that will mean more birth again and again, you know. So slowly, slowly, as we go along, one has to reduce our desires. And a certain stage should come where I have nothing more I want than Bhagwan. That alone I want. That alone is my desire. So ultimately, and that also, and Gurudev in his commentary says it very beautifully, most masterful, the two lines he says, even the desire for enlightenment should go away. You should not say that when I sit in meditation, then Atma will reveal itself, I will attain enlightenment. Even that desire has to drop. First, you have to have mumukshutvam, you know, intense desire for liberation. But in the final state, when I sit, you should not think that I am sitting for meditation, now a blue light will come. You know, there are some people who meditate and they say you hear some bells or you see a blue light. So people in their meditation are looking for experiences. You know, I will experience a blue light, I will hear some sound or something. No, all of those, you know, may appear. You know, you may see light, you may not, but that is not the ultimate.
Something you
So
see may
even
go.
the, yeah, something you appears will go away. What came will go away. What came and went is not Atma. Atma is constantly there. So even the desire for enlightenment should go. And to me, that affected me so much. It was so profound. You know, it's just two lines Gurudev has put in the middle, just like that. In the page 100, even the desire for the supreme may be an anxiety which will destroy the peace and poise of the meditator. Because again, the person is meditating and looking for an experience that I will experience Brahman or I will experience Atma. So it is not an experience, it is a knowing. And the knowing has to become complete and permanent. So that is the. And then, as we said, if you have no desires, you have no sorrows. Nobody can take anything from you. Nobody can give you anything. And God's grace is required. One has to pray for Bhagwan's grace. That's why before we sit for meditation, we invoke our Ishta Devta, O Bhagwan, please be with me. Whether it's Lord Shiva, you know, Krishna, Ram, whoever it is,
Mm-hmm.
Mother Saraswati. And ultimately, that is not only the form, but it is the formless. So we should meditate on the formless, which is like in Lord Shiva's case, the Shivaling is represents the formless for Vishnu Shaligram. So this God who is in form is also formless. It is not only formless, but all forms are him. That's why in Rudram it is said, it is Vishwarupa and Virupa. Vishwarupa Bhagwan Shiva is Vishwarupa means all forms of the world are him, and Virupa means he is without form, he is formless. So Bhagwan Shiva is not only sitting in meditation, not only Shivling, but all forms, and it is beyond all forms. So that, and then this such a person does not become fanatical because all forms are God. So he accepts everything. Does not say only my God is supreme and everybody else is inferior. I may have a Ishta Devata, but I don't have any fanaticism. So this is what we understand, that it is there in all beings. So every being is divine. Every person is divine. There is nobody who is a sinner. We don't classify the world into sinners and saints, and I like and I hate, and I this person is a crook and that person is not. Everything is Bhagwan, everything is his expression, and whatever is happening for the good. Swami Aparajitananda ji hammered that into our head. Whatever is happening is good. If Bhagwan is doing it, it is good. And you should say anything, no complaint. Everything is perfect. That was the standard answer. Even when the sound system was not working, everything is perfect. It was, that's why when some Mahatmas come, how they influence, our thinking. So this is the glory of Atma and is glory of me.
Acceptance.
I. So I am the one that is subtler than the subtlest, bigger than the biggest. And I am desireless. And only through desireless you go beyond joys and sorrows. Otherwise, I get something, I get happy. When I lose something, I get sorrowful. But Atma neither gains nor loses, neither does nor anything happens to it. So this is the glory of Atma. This is the glory of Brahman. And it is the supreme support of everything. Everything is sustained by Atma, is in Atma. And it is neither born, neither dies, and it is the source of all knowledge. All knowledge comes from that, and that is what is explained in the Vedas, and that is what is sought by all seekers. Brahmacharyam charanti. So all seekers, so as seekers, we have to seek that supreme abode that is in my heart, shining. Shining again does not mean light. Shining means the giving consciousness to me, making me conscious. So that should be our goal, and that should be. And regular meditation is very important. I get up in the morning, must meditate for 20, 30 minutes. That is essential. Without meditation, the spiritual progress will be very slow. So meditation expedites your progress, spiritual progress. So every morning, any mantra, pick up a nice mantra, any nice saying, and meditate upon it. And then throughout the day, Gurudev was, somebody asked Gurudev, how long should I meditate? He said, 24 hours a day, you should meditate. That
Just
means
to remember.
remember that I am the Atma, and this BMI is my instrument, and do whatever is required. It doesn't mean you give up your duties and run away. Do what is, that's what Arjuna wanted to do, give up his duties and run away. And Bhagwan told him, no, your duty at this moment is to
Right.
fight to save
Yes.
the save
Wow.
Dharma, to save the good people. So same way, we do whatever our duty is without owning up, and only ownership is I am Atma, I am Self. And again, not be fanatical, but accept everything as good, and everybody is good. Everybody is God's creation. So no joy and sorrow, no love or hatred, but total compassion for all. So that is what, for a true Vedantin or a true Bhakta, both of them end up with complete compassion for all. A devotee says everything is Bhagwan, And the Bhakta says everything is Atma, the self, the consciousness, and is me. So Vedantin will say everything is me. So when everything is me, how can I hurt anybody or how can I hate anybody? I can't say my hand is, I love my hand more than my heart. So same way, I cannot love one person more than another or hate one person more. So this is the essence of today's teachings. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments.
When they say subtler than the subtlest, the subtlest, subtler means the more pervasive. That's how it is, not like anything smaller.
Right.
So subtler means more pervasive.
Right.
More pervasiveness. The subtle is measured in pervasive.
Right, right. So subtler means all pervasive. Like we mentioned, like ice, then
Ice, yeah.
water is subtler than ice because water spreads. Steam is subtler than water, but Atma is even subtler than that, means more pervasive. So that, yes.
Like space.
Like space, all space is the subtlest. There is earth, then there is water, then fire, then air, and then space. So earth is the grossest, then water, then fire, then air, and then space. So space is the subtlest, is the most pervasive. So same way, Atman is most pervasive. Thank
Space has
you.
only one sound. Sound is the only thing you can do. Then air has touch and sound.
Right.
Then fire has three: light, sound, and touch, the same way. So the quality is different.
Right. So space only has sound, air has sound and touch, fire has sound, touch, and
Light,
visibility, light.
Rupa.
Then water has also sound,
Taste.
touch, and also taste. And then earth has all of them plus smell. So all the five qualities are there. So that's how it, from gross to subtle, the lesser and lesser senses. So in space, only sound. And Atma, there is even sound does not affect. Atma is beyond even sound, beyond even space. Yeah, thank you.
I'll see this one next year. It's far.
Next, again, it's a repetition of Ishavasya Upanishad, where it stays in one place and goes. So more and more praise of Atma, the consciousness.
Ashtadhyayam has
And
got
it is, you know,
yeah.
it is that is the ultimately the essence of all the Upanishads, but each one approaches with a different direction. We had talked about last week, like there's a circle with arrows, all go to the center, but they approach from different directions. So same way, each Upanishad will reveal the truth in different ways. Yeah, Lata.
I have two questions. I've read this shloka. In the description, it says Vairagya plus Viveka. Does it equal Akratu, that is desirelessness, that is referring to in the chapter? I mean, in this shloka. And then second question is, there are two thoughts about Dhatu.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I
The
thank you.
grace of the Lord is Dhatu, and that is Dvaita
No, yeah, no,
sect.
thank you for bringing
And
that up. I'll
then
explain.
other one, mind body BMI equipment as Dhatu, and that is Advaita line of thinking.
No,
Would
it's
you kindly clarify that,
right,
please?
right. So desirelessness means vairagya, and then and how do I achieve desirelessness? By Viveka, by knowing that this is not what I want. So Vivek and vairagya,
Is Vairagya
desirelessness,
born out of
yeah,
knowledge, or
Viveka,
Vairagya born out of
vairagya born out of Viveka, or vairagya can be born out of sorrow. Like like there's a somebody close dies, then you say, oh, life is not worth living. So that is Shmashan Vairagya, or Vairagya can arise out of knowledge. Now Dhatu Prasada, thank you for mentioning, Lata. I had forgotten to cover that. So Dhatu, one is Bhagwan. Dhatu Prasada means by Bhagwan's grace. So that is that Bhagwan is there, and by his grace. Even for a Vedantin, the not that there is a two of them, but the humility should be there, that there is a higher power than me who is doing everything. Until you achieve that enlightenment, even when you're enlightened, we find even these great masters, they still do pujas. These Mahatmas, they will still have a shivling, or they will still have, because as long as you are in this body, mind, intellect, the mind can be very easily deluded. So one should not stop doing our religious practices even at enlightenment. But for them, it is optional. For you and me, we have to do our daily puja, our, upasana, karma yoga, all that. But dhatu prasadat, when it is said, it refers to the mind and the senses. Dhatu means how, what do we mean by the grace of the mind and the senses? So one is grace of God. Second is grace of mind and senses. What does that mean? That when the mind and senses are quietened, in the desireless state, when the mind and senses become quiet, I don't say I want this, I want that, and the eyes are not seeking, and the hand is not seeking. Then when that mind and senses become still, then the grace of the mind and senses comes upon us. That means in a still mind, then only the knowledge can occur. So one way is that it can occur with Bhagwan's grace. Another one is that I have to make myself desireless, still my senses and mind, and in that quiet mind, which is desireless, which is not chasing after things and not trying to acquire more and more, in that silence, the knowledge will occur, knowledge will happen. So by grace of the senses and mind, what they mean is that my senses and mind have to cooperate, become quiet and become desireless, not chase after things. And then in that silence, when I sit, when my attention is not on objects, but on the self, on the Atma, which is in my heart, then the knowledge takes place. So yeah, the dhatu means both, means God, also means mind and senses. So different people explain it in different ways. So it, yeah, Gurudev says one is Advaita and one is Advaita. Dvaita and Advaita. Other Mahatmas say that they are all connected. God's grace, they say God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. It's like God says, look, I want to give 100% to everybody in the answer paper. I want to write everybody 100%, but you have submitted the answer sheet empty, or you, out of five questions, you only answered two. I can maximum give you 40%. God wants to give all of us 100%, but we don't make ourselves worthy of that. Teacher wants to give he would be very happy if all his students got 100%, or she would be happy. But not all students are the same. Some are very sincere and they do their best and accomplish everything. Others are just fooling around, and some of them don't do any work. Then, teacher can't give them all first. They have to be first to, the last in the. The same way Bhagwan wants to give all of us, his grace is always there, but we don't open our mind to the grace. It's like we have talked many times, the sunlight is always shining, but if you keep your windows closed, you will be, sitting in the darkness. You have to open your windows for the sunlight to come. So same way, you have to open your mind for God's grace. I think we have 1 minute. Hansa, you have a comment?
And the dhatu, the meaning of dhatu here is given senses and mind. Now, I look at it two ways. The bhakta who prays an idol and worships Shiva or Krishna or Rama, whatever. So that would be like a God's prasad, grace on you. But in that, the bhakta is totally, is they may not be able to control the senses, but a totally controlled sense when they are praying the God. So that's a true bhakta. So their senses are not wandering when they are praying or doing puja or something. So that's the God's prasad. But for the Advaitin or the person who is following the knowledge path, they need to learn to purify their mind by controlling their senses and mind, which is again a dhatu prasad. So that is the Jnani has to learn to withdraw his senses from the outer world, becomes desireless, purify the mind, and that would be dhatu prasad for the jnani. So it's the same concept, but in a put it in a different way for bhaktas as well as jnani. That's right. How I understand those two paragraphs.
Very good. That's good. Thank you. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Yeah, both parts, ultimately the goal of bhakti or jnana is that supreme self. So one has to end up in that. Yeah, thank you. We can end here. It's 1:30. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you. Harihi Om.